Hello. Last week I spoke to you about the requirements for a qualifying child and a qualifying relative for child-related tax benefits and other tax benefits a person can claim. And this episode I am going to speak to you in the case of an audit, what you or a client can do to prove that an individual, a taxpayer, is eligible to claim those child-related or other tax benefits.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Last week, I spoke to you about the qualifying child and qualifying relative requirements to claim child-related and other tax benefits for a taxpayer. I'm going to give a little bit of a recap on what I spoke to you about last episode. For the qualifying child, you need to go through tests such as the age, relationship, residency, support, citizenship, and married child tests. And those generally correspond with the qualifying relative tests. The main one that's an addition for the qualifying relative is that they cannot be a qualifying child of the taxpayer or any other taxpayer. But I'm going to go through what if an individual is audited, what documents can be used to prove that they should be able to claim a qualifying child or a qualifying relative for various tax benefits. To begin with, there is the relationship test. Now, the main way the relationship test is proven is by using birth certificates or other legal documents. Birth certificates are the main one, and those show, of course, the child's age and would be used to prove their citizenship. Also, if you have, for example, a grandparent claiming a grandchild for child-related tax benefits, it would be best to provide the birth certificates for all of the parties involved. So the birth certificate for each generation, the grandmother, their child, son or daughter, and the grandchild, showing the links between the parties, that each of them is related. And as they are linked, then the grandparent is qualified to claim the grandchild as a relative. It may also be necessary to provide other legal documents such as court papers, marriage licenses, adoption decrees. If an adoption is not final for a child pending an adoption, then you need a statement on letterhead from an authorized adoption agency. Providing these various documents then will be helpful to prove the relationship test, the age test, and potentially the citizenship test. If you are trying to show a person's citizenship status, then you would also need to provide citizenship papers or other immigration documents. Next, there is the residency test. These are documents that would list the address for the taxpayer and then the taxpayer's name, and then also documents linking the child or whoever is claimed on the tax return, the qualifying child or qualifying relative, their name on the documents for the year in question. So generally, this is showing for a child, so you would be providing school records, medical records, adoption or child placement documents, court records. It is always good to provide dated statements on letterhead from the child's school, child care provider, health care provider, social service agency, placement agency, employer, or an Indian tribal official. If you are able to gather documents with statements or affidavits from a landlord or property manager, the place of worship, or shelters such as a homeless or a domestic violence shelter, then those will potentially help to show that the individual was with the taxpayer for half the year or for the entire year, depending on what kind of qualifying child or qualifying relative requirements you're trying to prove. It can be difficult for trying to prove for a baby because they will not be receiving mail at the residence. They won't be in school, but hopefully there are childcare or medical records that show something about the child. But you may need to get creative. Also, I have dealt with teenagers who move from one house to another right after May, the end of the school year. So then it becomes tougher to prove what the teenager did during the summer because they weren't in school. And if the teenager was not involved in any kind of summer programs, was not working, then it can be tricky to prove just where the teenager lived. Whether it is with the mother or the father, there may not be any proof one way or the other, and so it can be difficult to prove for a taxpayer just where the teenager lived during the summer. There may also be times when a taxpayer is trying to prove that they provided more than one half of the support for a child during the year. Some items of proof for that are a statement of account from a child support agency, a statement from a government agency verifying the benefits received, rental agreements, or a statement showing proof of lodging costs, utility and repair bills with proof of payment, daycare, school, medical records, or bills with canceled checks or receipts, or clothing bills for a child with proof of payment. Now, these are various requirements that will be necessary to show for a dependent, for the earned income tax credit, but they will also go part of the way for the head of household filing status. But for the head of household filing status, you also have the additional requirement for a taxpayer that they must pay more than half the cost of maintaining a home. So that means that they provided for the household for at least 6 months. They will need to show that they paid the household bills for at least half the year. So costs to include to prove head of household include rent, mortgage interest, real estate taxes, insurance on the home, repairs, utilities, and food eaten in the home. What not to include are clothing, education, medical treatment, vacations, life insurance, or transportation. Also, do not include the rental value of the home an individual owns, or the value of services the taxpayer or a member of the household has provided. Next, I had not talked about education credits on the previous episode, but I wanted to throw in for education credits such as the American Opportunity Credit, which was also linked as the HOPE credit. When an individual is audited, then it seems like the IRS also throws in the education credit requirements that the 1098-T generally shows that the person was enrolled, but does not show the proof of payment. So requirements when an individual is audited regarding an education credit for themselves, they would need to show the Form 1098-T or other proof of enrollment, such as transcripts or other enrollment forms, but also show copies of proof of payment of tuition and fees, such as canceled checks, bank statements, credit card statements, or other receipts. Now, if a person paid for someone else to claim the American Opportunity Credit, then they need to provide proof of payment for the individual's qualified expenses, such as course-related fees, books, and other supplies, those copies of canceled checks, bank statements, credit card statements, or receipts, and copies of documents that show the expenses were needed for a course of study, such as course guides, course syllabus, or letters from the educational institution or institutions. Now, what are some instances where an individual may be required to provide this kind of proof? There are three main situations that I can think of. An individual may have been audited and want to submit an audit reconsideration request. In this instance, I would recommend gathering all of the documents and being sure that all of the proof has been organized as best as possible. Generally, for an audit reconsideration request, there may not be a ticking clock. I would recommend gathering all of the paperwork as best you can before submitting it to the IRS. An audit reconsideration request can be a bit of a last chance submission to the IRS. I would certainly recommend gathering everything together to make sure that it is organized as best you can. You may be trying to prove a case with a client for tax court. When gathering everything for appeals or potentially to prove a case with counsel or at trial. So these are various requirements that may be necessary. There may be other kinds of expenses a person may be trying to prove, such as business expenses. Again, it would be receipts that you're trying to prove to make your case in those instances. But once again, you have requirements to prove various credits or other tax benefits that you are trying to claim. So whether it is appeals, counsel, or even at trial, you need to have evidence to make your case so that the IRS may be willing to settle or whether they decide what exactly they want to do at trial. The other instance would be a correspondence audit. An individual receives in the mail a document from the IRS saying that you have claimed these various benefits. We don't believe that you should have claimed those benefits. Please show us proof that you are qualified. So it is worth working with an individual to gather these documents so that they are able to prove that they should have claimed that qualifying child or whatever the other instance is. Overall, it is necessary to be creative in trying to figure out ways to prove that a individual lived with a taxpayer for half or all of the year as required. But generally, these are the lists that are provided by the IRS. Some of the requirements for supporting documents to prove various credits or other tax benefits are Form 886-H if you are searching on the IRS website. Not all of them are available through the website. Sometimes I have received copies from clients showing what the IRS is asking them to use to prove their situation in a correspondence audit, but it is worth taking a look. I have tried to provide several of the examples. Hopefully these are helpful to you, helping yourself or a client to defend against an audit for an audit reconsideration request or in proving your case with tax court. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.